Welcome to Business, Law and More, the podcast that's all about the journey, not just the destination. My name is Rina. I'm a lawyer, business owner and managing partner of Cosbond. This podcast is for creative entrepreneurs where we discuss business insights, legal hurdles and more to help you build a business and life that you love. Thanks for spending time with me today. Turn up the volume and let's begin. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about time management. Do you find that time just passes by and before you know it's 5 p.m. and where's the time gone? You're in for a treat because today we're going to be talking about tips on how to take that time back. I am joined by Will Roig. Will is a business owner and a coach from Action Coach, and actually a confession to make that Will is actually my business coach and has been working with me now for a couple of years. So Will, thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you, Rina.
So let's crack on with it. I know that I start work as early as possible and before I know it, the time is gone and it's 5 o'clock and whatever I achieve to do that day, nothing has been done. At the beginning, it was a bit of a minefield as to how I do this. And then I found myself working really late into the evenings to catch up to just do what I set out to do at the beginning. And then that becomes just day in, day out. And before you know it, I'm working on the weekends and all hours God's given to me. We've been working together and you've been giving me some great tips. So what if we shared some of that and you can give some of those tips to our listeners?
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of those things, isn't it, time? It's funny, we often talk about time management and it's one of the big buzzwords in business, isn't it? But the reality is we can't manage time. We can't pause it, we can't store it. It slips through our fingers in the same way for everyone. So I prefer to talk about self-management because actually it's how we manage what we do with our time that makes us effective, makes us more efficient. We often hear, we always hear in fact, that I haven't got enough time or I didn't get around to doing this because I didn't have the time. But it's funny, we always have time for things that we prioritize. So surely it's a case of prioritizing the important things in our life. If we were to prioritize them, then we'd have time for them. And I say that a little bit flippantly, of course. We don't operate in a vacuum and there's life happening around us and things come up that we need to take care of. But if we can look at it in that way and we can start to put in place some strategies for looking at time and the way we use our time, or shall we say the way we invest our time, if we invest our time in the right way, then we get better results.
And I know you'll touch on this, but it's called Eat That Frog, but also just about not burying your head in the sand because it's a priority, but you don't prioritize it because you need this big window of opportunity to get your head down and get something done. So it's a mixture of things as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's that curse of the things that we hate to do. I'm glad you mentioned it because the book by Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog, is very good at highlighting that if we in fact prioritize those things that we know need to be done but we don't necessarily like doing them, if we make those the priorities in our day and get rid of them, then they're done. If we, for argument's sake, if you had two or three tasks that you really don't like doing, let's say making some phone calls, let's say filing, that it's stuff that's important, it needs to be done, but you don't like doing them. If you put them at the front of your day and you grit your teeth and get through them, then they're done. And the rest of the day is bliss because you're not dreading that those two or three things that you need to get done. If you put them at the end of the day, so your least preferred task, if you like, you'll get to the end of the day and say, okay, I'm not got enough time to do those today, so I'll put them onto tomorrow. And then the next day you do the same thing. And the next day you do the same thing. And those tasks never get done because we don't like doing them. So far better that we put them at the front of our day, put them first, prioritize them effectively, get through them, and then we can relax for the rest of the day knowing that those tasks are done.
You're right, actually. And that book's brilliant, Brian Tracy. It's probably one of the first books I've ever read. And the frog, you don't actually eat it. I'm vegetarian. But it's a metaphor for this horrible thing that you need to get done. But like the frog, it keeps slipping away and jumping away.
Who wants to eat a frog, right?
Well, I don't know. That is a conversation for another day. But the frog is this horrible task that you really just don't want to do. But you know that once you've done it, it's a weight lifted off your shoulders. In my world, that comes down to probably drafting when you've got this very complicated piece of drafting to do and you really don't want to do it. But what I find is before I do anything, I do that because once I've done it, then my whole day goes swimmingly because I've done this one thing that I really didn't want to do, but it's going to make the biggest difference once I've done it.
Amazing.
That's what it is. So great tip there. Thank you, Will. So that's the first thing, eat that frog and read the book if you haven't read it as well.
Yeah.
What other tips have you got?
So I think if we start right at the very beginning, you know, what you do with your day is really defined by the goals you have. Have you got clear goals? If you've got a clear goal for your day, even if it's not for a longer term, if you have a clear goal, clear set of outcomes for that day, then that's going to allow you to start prioritizing. So the first thing I would say is, if you're not having some goals in place, if you're not writing some goals for each and every day, then you allow time to flow. You take care of what comes up. You take care of what's in front of you. If you're looking to achieve a certain outcome by the end of the day, or a certain set of outcomes, that's going to naturally throw up some tasks that you need to accomplish. It just gives you clarity over those things that you need to get done in the day. The first thing I'd say is have those goals in place.
So we can do a whole topic about goal setting.
Absolutely. It's a completely different topic. But
I know that because we sit down every year to set the goals.
Right, okay.
And then we revisit them as well. Well,
absolutely, yeah.
If you're setting the goals for the day or the week, how would you do that? And how would you document that?
I would actually go a step. If we come back just a second before we get there, there is the notion that you mentioned, that you alluded to it when you first opened this discussion. You seem to get through the day and nothing gets done. So I think that before we touch on goals and where we might start, let's talk about what we're currently doing with our time. And I think a really good tip, if instinctively we're getting to the end of every day and saying, I just got nothing done, I've been working all day and I've got nothing done, then a good idea would be to audit your time, do a time audit, go through a couple of weeks, and it's fairly intrusive, fairly difficult to do, but stick with it for a couple of weeks of really recording what you're doing with your time on a daily basis over a couple of weeks. Now, what I mean by that is having a sheet in front of you, and every sort of 15 or 30 minutes, just making a note of what you've done with that time, so that we can start to categorize how you're spending your time. Invariably throughout the day, you'll get some important things done, but that might be interspersed with things that you don't need to be doing. It might be things that, you know, maybe aren't within your role. Maybe things that are a complete distraction. We've all been guilty, I'm sure, of scrolling through social media at times. I was talking to someone the other day and he mentioned how if he opens Instagram, before he knows it, that's an hour and a half gone.
I think that's like most people, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is one of those things that we don't realise we're doing it half the time, but we do it. So the first thing would be, the first stage, if you like, would be to go through a time audit and really understand how you're currently using your time.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you've made me do this as well a few times. And it's not just
I make everyone do it.
Yeah, and it's not just a case of doing it once and that's it. It's when you feel like time is passing you by and you're not doing what you need to do, a time audit to see where you're spending your time. And actually what I found as well is that I was doing a lot of these, what you call the £10 tasks.
Yeah.
So tasks that necessarily I don't need to do because it's not in my skill set or that I've got a team around me that I could delegate to. And once I do that, I could then eliminate a lot of these tasks to somebody else who's got the time to do it and can do it properly. And that frees up my time to then do what I need to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for want of a better way of putting it, that you're absolutely right. It comes back to that clarity over your role, isn't it, really? Are you doing those things that are part and parcel of your job, your role? And we call them £10 tasks because invariably we're doing some things, we end up doing some things that might be someone else's role. And we might just find, well, it is quicker if I just do it myself rather than pass it to the relevant person. And not to sound in any way elitist, but you might be in a position where your pay grade is higher than £10. And if you consider it in that way, if you're doing a job which is in the £10 grade and you're, say, in the £100 grade, then every hour you spend doing that, you're throwing away your skills. If that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, I did this audit down to the T, to the point where I calculated how much it cost me to make a cup of coffee at my hourly rate.
It really is.
And I was like, wow, this is why
expensive coffee that you're making.
Yeah. And so now I don't make my coffee unless until I need a break away from my desk. And again, it's not because I feel like somebody else should be making my coffee. It's just because I could be utilizing that time to do something else.
Okay. 5 minutes away for some headspace is always a good use of time in my book. But if we're at a stage where we've identified how we're spending our time, we can potentially start to eliminate some of the distractions, some of the white noise, if you like. And then we come back to the goals. And if we're clear on what we need to achieve, then as far as possible, we all have routines in our life. And an idea would be to start plugging them into what we call a default diary. So if we can start, if we've identified from the time audit what those routines are that we need to go through, and we start to block out time for those routines. So if we've got something that we need to do on a daily basis, for argument's sake, and we can say, okay, a good use of a good time to do these tasks or this particular task might be 9 o'clock every morning, and it's going to take us half an hour. Could we put that into our diary every morning for 9 o'clock and make sure that we're focused on doing just that for that time period? Because on average, it takes us about 20 minutes to change focus. And so if you think about it, if we're doing 10 minutes of this and 10 minutes of that and 10 minutes of the other, and invariably it's taking us 20 minutes to change focus between each task, then we're not being as efficient as we can be. If we were to block time out as far as possible for those individual tasks, where we can get our head into the game and focus purely on that thing, then we're going to do it much better standard and much quicker.
So we can't multitask.
But some people can, I can't.
You're right, and this default diary has actually changed how I work, and so much so that we've rolled it out in the firm as well.
It's a great idea, and I think that I'm not going to be naive enough to say that we can map out 100% of our working day or working week in that way, because things do come up, things do come out of left field that we're not anticipating, and they do need to be dealt with. But if we can, as far as possible, block time out for certain things, then we get into that routine, we get into that habit, and we start operating on a more efficient basis because we get used to it. It becomes habit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, I do this quite a bit. So I know in the mornings I need to check my emails and maybe return calls and things. So I have it very color-coded. So first thing in the morning, I'll set aside an hour of my day just to return calls and answer some of these emails. And if anybody's going to be booking any calls for me, they'll use that time to then book it in. One thing actually that I do is leave a lot of white space, because something could happen. It's not in the diary. You don't know what to do, and then it throws you off completely. Whereas when you have that white space, it allows you that time and freedom to then deal with what you need to do, but then still go back to what you should be doing as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's, for me personally, that is one thing that I can't operate without. Just to look at a calendar that doesn't have any free time in it, in my mind, it's just design a failure, because it's not realistic. If we block out all of the time and say, right, okay, at this time I'm doing this, and at 10 o'clock I'm doing that, and at 11 o'clock I'm doing the other, and we're like that all day, when these things invariably happen that do, they often crop up, things come out, and we get a phone call, something we weren't anticipating, something we wasn't planned for, that we need to take care of, the whole diary falls apart because something that we were blocking time out for doesn't get done because we need to go off and do what's come up.
Yeah.
You know, so by having white space and by saying, right, okay, at a certain part of every day, we've got some time in our diary, and if we do have to move one of our blocked out periods because something urgent's come up, then we can move it into that free space and deal with the urgency there and then. At least we're still getting done what we need to get done. So our priorities are blocked out, we still get them done, but we've got some time in our lives for those things that crop up that we're not expecting.
That's really helpful. So we talked about setting goals, time audit, default diary, eating the frog, that's a metaphor, don't really eat frogs. And then I suppose once you've got your default diary, and I've got some drafting to do, is blocked out in my diary, this is what I'm going to be doing. One thing I find difficult sometimes is to just concentrate on that. And I know you've taught me this technique, and it's called the Pomodoro technique.
Yeah.
And that works really well, actually. In short, it's 25 minutes or so, just pure solid work. I have my timer on, my phone is away from me, and then 5 minute break. And so in that 25 minutes, by the time it started, 5 minutes have gone. I'm like, oh my goodness, quick. And before I've achieved so much in that 25 minutes, because it's that deep work. And then that 5 minute, I get away from my desk. I talk to people. I make that a £42 coffee and then come back and then start again.
Hopefully you're not making too many £2 coffees. They want to be good for that price. I'll put it away. Yeah, look, the concept of timing your work and timing your time out, if you like, is a really important concept, because in life or loathe it, we all lose focus over a longer period of time. I think I remember back to my student days, my days of studying, not that I was ever a great student, you understand, but I remember not being able to focus and trying to go for 2 or 3 hours and with my head in a book and reading and writing and learning stuff. And it just wasn't an effective way of working. If we take regular breaks, then it gives us a chance to clear our head. Now, obviously, I understand, I realise that I've just talked about blocking time out. But even without block, even within blocked out time, we need to take breaks to clear our heads, to just have a chance to breathe and reset. The Pomodoro technique is very much along those lines, where we're setting a timer. It does, you're right, it gives you that element of, okay, I'm working against the clock here, so let's just get down and focus and get stuff done. But it also just as important, those times in between working where you can just clear your head and just take a breather. The science dictates it makes you much more effective if you work on the basis of having regular breaks to clear your head and take a breather.
Yeah, and we work in an open plan office, so sometimes that can be difficult to do. But one thing that we did in the past is put red flags up. So we all had a little flag on our desk. So that was an indication to everybody else that I'm in my zone, don't disturb me, let me continue. And that flag is down, that's when you can talk to them. It was a way of doing, but...
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's just another way, it's an innovative way of making sure that people are working to that routine. I often find that we know that environment is huge, and if you're working in the wrong environment, you're not going to be as effective. Now, we're all working from home a lot more these days, and me included. And I find I do have my own office at home, but I do find that sometimes it just doesn't work for me. Sometimes I need to go and sit on the couch with my laptop and my lap, and I work much more effectively that way. Sometimes I need to go and stand in the kitchen with my laptop on the counter and just stand there. I do that an awful lot when I'm dealing with talking with clients online. I tend to stand a lot because I'm much more focused when I stand. Environment is a really important thing. If you are in an environment that there's a lot of distractions, then it's likely that you're going to be distracted. Other people get on okay with it. I know that I have some clients who regularly take a day where they go to a local cafe and they take their laptop, they sit there, they have a coffee, they've got their earphones in, and they do great things. It's another way of getting out of the office for a bit and changing that scenery. So changing the environment can be a really positive thing. Overall, making sure that you're in an environment that makes you feel comfortable, that limits those distractions, is a great idea.
It just reminded me, actually, we once had a trainee who put her headphones in and she'd be listening to jungle music.
Really?
And I'd be fascinated as to how she can concentrate, but she was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so she was in her zone, in her environment as well, to thrive.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Everyone's so different. And there's no one thing that's going to work for everyone. But if there's a range of tasks, a range of tips, and you can pick the ones that work for you, then as long as it's effective for you, that's a great thing.
I wanted to touch on one last thing, if I may. And when we've done the time audit, and you've taught me this as well, and I can't remember the technical name for it, but you've done the time audit, you've figured out what's urgent, important, what's important, not urgent, and the rest of it. And I forgot who created that box or what the technique
was. That was the time matrix, which was conceived by Stephen Covey. And it's an element of his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's really interesting. So if we start to categorise our time, once we've done that time audit, into one of those four headings. So the four headings are either not urgent or important. They're not urgent, but they're important. They're urgent, but not important. Or they're both urgent and important.
That is so confusing to remember.
It is really confusing, and it's best done with a visual.
Yes, so I Google it, and then I find the table, print it
Google
out.
Google it, but it's all over the internet. Yeah. You'll find it. And I think the biggest thing to consider here is that if you're doing it, if you highlight anything in your time audit, it's not important and it's not urgent, then it's time wasting.
Yeah.
So that might be the hour spent playing Candy Crush Saga. I don't even know what that thing is, but I do know that it's been quite a popular game, right, on people's phones.
Yes, yeah.
Or perhaps I'm just showing my age there, I don't know. But
Candy Crush is gone, though. I think
you know, it goes to show how behind the times I really am. But whatever the latest version is, there's potential for distraction there. And those sorts of things, we ask ourselves a question, is it adding any value to your life whatsoever? Or is it adding any value to your work? And I'm not going to say it doesn't add value to your life if you enjoy doing it. But the point is it something to be prioritised, or is it something to be limited or got rid of altogether?
Yeah.
In the context of not having enough time to get things done, then, you know, if it's not urgent or important, then the argument is we shouldn't be doing it. And then if we're left with the urgent but not important, again, it might be, you know, firefighting, it might be dealing with other people's urgencies. And sometimes we might need to be a little bit selfish and say, okay, that, you know, it's not important or valuable to me or my work. Mm. I'm not saying we shouldn't help anyone, but if there's a lot of that going on, then it's going to eat into our time. So if we're left with the urgent and important and the not urgent but important, then we find that if we're focused primarily on those things, then we'll be more efficient with the time.
You're right. And actually, I use this with the senior management team as well to say this is what you need to be doing, urgent, important. And what that means is, and the metaphor I use is that whatever's in that box needs to be done now. If there was a fire in your building right now, you'd be running out. So there should be nothing in that box that needs to be done before you do anything. If it's in that box and you're not doing it, then it's not urgent and important. And if you've cleared that box, then what will naturally happen is the things that weren't urgent, but still important, so important, not urgent, then make their way to being urgent, important. They fall away because things have changed.
Absolutely.
And that's how they work as well, that whatever's in that box is red, do it now, urgent, the house is burning down, there's a fire, and yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's urgent and it's important. We've got to get that stuff done.
Yeah.
What often happens is the stuff that's important but not necessarily urgent gets left behind because it doesn't matter in the here and now. It doesn't make any difference in the here and now. But invariably, those things will make you more efficient going forward. So for argument's sake, if you wanted to implement systems in your business that would give you back more time, that would make you more efficient, it's not urgent because you're already operating, but it is important because if you get around to doing it, it's going to make you more efficient.
Yeah.
The point is, if you never focus on doing it, then you never actually get there.
Yeah.
It's important. It might not matter today or tomorrow. This time next year, it might be, say, if it's left, it might become a matter of urgency.
Yeah. Brilliant. I think I can speak to you for hours, but that's why you're my business coach. Because
well,
we can go through.
It's very, very nice to know that, Rina. But there is one last thing
I've got
to say on time management, and the biggest lesson. If we've got some goals and we know what we need to achieve, then the last task that should be in a default diary of every day is to write your to-do list for the next day. Write that frog sheet, as we call it, or the to-do list for the next day, so that you start the day with a list of priorities to get done.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And it's good to just offload as well the night before so that you know what you're doing. You're ready to start the day. You've got your default diary. You can slot things in and away you go.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And actually, I've been using all of these tips, sometimes some more than the others, but it's always a good reminder as well. And it works and it does help you focus on what you need to be doing, what you can delegate. And it does. And it means that you get your time back. So, Will, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll come back with some more tips as well.
Thank you. Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thanks for listening to Business Law and More, a Cosbon podcast. Before we go, if you enjoy the podcast, please follow and subscribe to the show, share the podcast or tell a friend about it, leave us a review, and stay tuned for more next week.